Hello, everyone. This is Leah McCullough, and this is call two of 90 Days to Amazing and holistic group weight loss coaching support. So this is a great program, and today we're going to talk about mindset, which is one of my very favoriteest of all times subject. So I hope you're on the computer so you can see the slides. And just to kind of give you a little update, we from call one, we made a video of the slides and the recording together. So that's going to be ready in a couple days on the fibroclass.com site. And what else do we have going on? I don't know. We have some other things going on. I'm a little at sixes and sevens this morning because we've had a lot of things blow up today, technology-wise. I just wanted to make sure everybody's here and everybody can hear me and all that stuff. So this is an interactive call. You guys can ask questions as we go along. I'll just mute you if it starts to get noisy on your line, but that's it. So we're going to go to the next slide. So this is check-in. So I want to hear about what successes you've had in the last 2 weeks since our call. And if you don't have any successes to share, or if you'd also like to share gratitude you have, like what are you grateful for? The next thing is, did you take your before picture and measurements? What are you thinking about the Facebook polls? And do you have any questions about the detox food checklist or anything else, and anything challenges you have? I want to hear. So we're going to start with Tina.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Okay. So definitely some successes for me. I have been exploring more of my food options and trying to find what I like, what I don't like, and finding things that so I don't feel really boxed in as far as trying to maintain lower sugars. So I did not take a before picture, but I did weigh myself and do some of my measurements. And I feel like I'm definitely moving forward. And then I love the Facebook polls. They are a consistent reminder to me of what I'm trying to accomplish and what I want. And then I'm not having any questions, but my biggest challenge is sugar cravings. Even though I've done a good job of not eating any processed sugars, I'm still eating a lot of berries and fruits, and I know they're lower on the glycemic index, but I think that's continuing to fuel my desire for sugar.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about the expanding the food options. Because you were telling me about that earlier, and I want you to share with everybody what happened with that.
One of my favorite foods is oatmeal, and I always feel sad when I start to give up more carbohydrates that I don't feel like I can eat oatmeal. So I was scouring the internet and found a recipe for hemp heart oatmeal. It's the heart of a hemp seed, and unlike a lot of other seeds, it does not contain phytic acid, that anti-nutrient, so it's a great source of fat and protein, very low in carbs, but high in fat and protein, plus none of the anti-nutrients. I mixed it with some coconut milk or regular milk, and then I did peanut butter, a tablespoon of peanut butter with 3 tablespoons of hemp heart, and I ate that this morning. It was fabulous. It had a very oatmeal-like consistency. It was a little more had more texture, but it was a really good, nice, smooth texture, and it was really good, high fat, high protein, and I was really excited.
Yeah, didn't you? You soaked those overnight?
Yes, I made it the night before, soaked it in the fridge, and in the morning, especially now that it's getting hot, it was a nice cool breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, so you ate it cold?
Yeah.
You could have eaten it heated up, though, as well?
Yeah, you can warm it through. You have to add a little more liquid, but yeah.
So would you pretty please add that to the Facebook group? Like, what you like a link to what you bought and then the recipe, you know, like the general
yeah,
recipe,
absolutely.
Please? Because that sounds good.
It was really yummy.
Yeah. All right, cool. Because I've heard, you know, mixed things about hemp. Like, some people say it's a food and some people's not. But I've never heard about hemp hearts before, so that's new for me. And if it doesn't have phytic acid and it's high, I'd like to know what kind of fat it's high in. And then, you know, the protein is good, too. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about cravings. You know, in the mindset thing, like some specific things you can do. And if you don't feel like you don't have some strategies going forward for cravings, sugar cravings, let me know.
Okay.
But I will tell you, like, some people are like, oh, wait it out. It's only going to be 10 minutes or whatever like that. To me, like, the best way to get rid of a habit is replace it with another habit. And with sugar cravings, like sometimes you just need something to eat. And I find a teaspoon of coconut oil with some cinnamon sprinkled on it is a zapper for sugar cravings. Especially like if none of the mind, the mental things, the mindset things don't work. Like sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know, especially if you're struggling with, you know, some metabolic imbalances and things like that. It's not just, I noticed that a lot of diet books are written by men and men don't have the same physiology, month, like different times of the month, like women do. And our physiology really, the hormones in our body really fluctuate from day to day, depending on where we're on our cycle. We're not like the same day in, day out, like most men are. So it's a little bit of challenges. You know, I think we have a lot more extremes in mood and just physiology in general because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Deirdre said she was going to come in on a webcast call, but she's not here. So, and she was here with the phone. Haha. She's not here now. So I'm going to go. I'm going to tell you about two successes I've had this last 2 weeks. The first one is, speaking of cycles and all that stuff, I had zero PMS. Zero. Like that. That happens fairly frequently to me, but just, you know, kind of keeping my mind on what I'm doing and focused and stuff some more, that I didn't have any PMS this month. So that was phenomenal. Zero. And then the other success I've had is that I bought some clothes. I'm going to be traveling this summer. So I bought a few things to fill up my wardrobe a little bit, and I had to take a few things back because they were too big. I had to go back and get a smaller size. So woohoo for me. And I did take my before picture. I have not weighed myself. And I've been participating on the Facebook polls, and I've been working my checklists, and some days I'm better at it than others, but I find it a good focusing tool for me to remember all the stuff I want to do, and also to kind of give me like small wins all the day, all during the day. And as I write a check, I'm like, I'm winning. Like every time I do a check, I just sing that little I'm winning song. I'm winning. And it just really makes me feel super happy. Some of the challenges I'm having right now is concerned with traveling and eating out and having a much too busy schedule. Oh, is that Deirdre?
Hello? Yes, it is.
Awesome.
I thought I was back before I was back. I could hear you guys. And I was getting the slides and everything, and then I heard you. I was like, well, yeah. So I called back in, but I'm on my phone and I'm getting the slides. But I missed what you were just about to say about you started saying that I've had no, and then I got cut off.
Oh my God, successes. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, I had zero PMS this month, which I'm super happy about.
Awesome.
And and then I've also, the other success I had was that I had to, I bought some clothes. And I had to take a few items back because they were too big.
Woohoo! That is such a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. So, awesome.
So, Deirdre, we're doing check-ins. Mm-hmm. And so let me tell, it's on the slide, but there's like mm-hmm. A few things. So I'll just walk you through them. But,
I can't see the slide.
Five, yeah. So there's five bullet points. I'll just go through each bullet point with you. So do you have any gratitudes or successes you want to share with us? And I know there's one you want to share with us.
Yes. Well, my one success is that I've lost like 5 pounds, which was a huge, you know, huge surprise. I know. I couldn't believe. I was really not expecting that. So I'm very, very happy about that. And I just, that was like, you know, made me feel fantastic. And then gratitude, yeah. I'm glad to have, you know, this accountability and to be able to get this information, you know, and talk to everybody every week. And really for me, it's being accountable. I really, really need that. So I just that's such a huge help, and I'm very grateful for it. And you know, so this past week I haven't been feeling that great. Nothing to do with fibro. I've just had this really bad cough that is hanging on after a cold. So I may mute myself if I start coughing. That's all it is. It's not, you know. You know, nothing terrible about that. You know, it's just, it'll get there. I weighed myself. I have not done my before picture and measurement.
Okay.
Because I forgot to do that, and that is a big problem for me because I need to get a little more organized with things. Yeah. So
that's okay.
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working on it. So I did the Facebook poll, like, you know, right before I came on here. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to
all
do
right.
And I did today's, and then I went back like 5 days and did all the other ones. And I really like those questions. I really like those. It gets you thinking about things that maybe aren't, you know, right up there at the front of your mind. And it's also good because you think, you know, like you're talking about, you know, meridian tapping. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been doing that for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I was like, okay, check.
Awesome.
You know, that was good. And I do it, you know, when you start doing it a lot, I don't know if everybody's been doing it at that long. The therapist who taught me to do it just said, you know, like this, if you really need it, just get in there. She says, if you're sitting in traffic at a light and you're just feeling, you know, that anxious, or you're feeling like, you know, you need to sort of, you know, pull yourself together, you know, center and everything. She said, you know, she just starts tapping on her leg, and she goes, just try this, tapping on your leg, or do it, you know, with your right by your collarbone,
mm-hmm.
and it really makes a big difference. You know, it's better to go through the whole sequence, but just doing that a little bit really helps. So,
awesome, awesome,
yeah.
And then, do you have any questions about the detox food or checklist?
Not really. Although I really would love to get that hemp hard oatmeal recipe. And one comment I can make on food is, I have totally fallen in love with the magical breakfast cream. Oh my gosh, that stuff is. And my husband loves it too. And I made it, and he was, oh my god, this is great. I mean, it is really good.
And isn't it amazing how long it keeps you full?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, and you just feel like you're, it's so good. You just feel like you're eating something. You just feel like, oh, it feels like I'm filling myself up, and it's not like, like a little piece of toast or something like that. It's got a lot in there, and I don't mix the cereal in with it, but I put some nuts on top and a little bit of fruit, and that's it.
Awesome.
But yeah, but that's great. And chamomile tea has become my new go-to. I never really liked it before. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had chamomile tea, and that, I went and got some really good quality chamomile tea, and that is just, oh man. And you're right about the focus. It does. It's kind of like taking, I currently take Concerta for ADHD. It's sort of like that. Sort of like calms you in, like reins you in very gently and lets you focus on something. So I'm hoping maybe that can be my new Concerta. Get rid of the other stuff. So
yeah.
I'll talk to my doctor about that. But I was very surprised. I mean, I said that and I thought, oh, I got to try this, and it really does help you focus, and not in a, in a pressured way, like I've got to look at this. You just do it, which is a nice change. So that's all good. And really, my big challenge is just getting organized with all of my, note taking and my supplements and everything. And I'm actually going to get my niece is home from college, and I'm going to have her help me do an Excel spreadsheet so I can keep track of everything, because I need to be able to see it all in front of me. And so
okay.
And hopefully I'll let you know how well that works.
So you need an Excel spreadsheet for your checklist, because you can't figure it out on Google Sheets, or?
No, well, not the checklist, but just all the different, because I'm also taking other medications, and mm-hmm. it's all, at different times of day, and, taking,
where
you can eat. So that's, I kind of want to get those two worlds together on one
sheet.
So yeah, so I could just like tape it to my fridge and, just start check. So.
Right.
Yeah, no, the checklist is great, but I just need to, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I need to do. That's great. Everything's, moving along, So thank you.
Okay, awesome. If you're on the call and you can hear us, I can't see that you're on my list of people who've called in. And I can't call on you, and I can't hear you. So we're going to move forward, but if you are having issues with that, where you can hear me, but I can't hear you, then please come in on, check your email that I sent you. It has the instructions for that situation, like make sure your device is unmuted, make sure you're doing the web call, that type of thing. Okay, so we're gonna move forward. Okay, so here's the next slide. It says mindset. This is what we're focusing on today. And then we'll have time for anybody's questions about different things going on. Deirdre, did you have mm-hmm. any specific challenges that you wanted to talk about?
Really, it's nothing terrible, just, or huge. It's just being, just being organized and remembering things. You know, I think
it's
not so great, but I'm working on it. So that's the challenge. If anybody has a tip, you know, that would be great. But, you know, I figure if like doing things that I'm very visual, so I figure I can do things where I can look at something, if, you know, either on my fridge or on my wall or wherever, I can bring myself back to it. So,
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay, so when we're talking about mindset, we're talking about having a positive mindset, and that doesn't mean, like, you know, Pollyanna-ish, like I'm not thinking about reality. I'm actually just choosing to have, you know, a go-for-it attitude. We're also going to talk about reframing, tapping, meditation, visualization, behavior modifications. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. And then we're going to talk about some remedies. So the mindset portion of this program is based on the information in my book, Freedom from Fibromyalgia, the Emotional Freedom Technique or Meridian Tapping. There's a book by Steve Siebel called Die Fat or Get Tough. It's written by a man, so there you go. And the work of Abraham Hicks, as channeled by Esther Hicks. And I got a lot of the behavior modification information from University of California, San Francisco Weight Management Clinic. It's basically like a lot of the stuff like they teach at Weight Watchers. This information is available in a lot of different places, and most of it's common sense, but some of it's some like little tricks and hacks. So we'll go over that, and then my clinical and healing experiences with my clients, and box flower remedies. So that's probably going to be a new innovative thing for a lot of you. So positive mindset. The number one thing is treat yourself like someone you dearly love. I saw a meme today on Facebook where it was like, you know, treat yourself like a little small child, like cook, you know, nutritious food, make sure you have a nice bedtime routine, go to bed early, you know, like wear clean clothes, give yourself a kiss on the forehead at night, I guess. But
oh my God,
I remember when I was pregnant, I like treated myself at a much higher level because, I'm pregnant, you know, and I got to think about the baby and all that stuff. And then when I wasn't pregnant anymore, I was like, well, why don't I treat myself like this all the time? You know, I should need to step up to myself, you know, and treat myself like someone who's worth treating well. So that was kind of a cool experience for me. And just know that you're the person who's responsible for your life and health, not anyone else, especially not health practitioners. They're responsible for giving you accurate information as they know it. But at the end of the day, you know, let's just put it this way. If you get so sick that you're not responsible for your health, you don't want to be there at all, you know. And making a decision. So making a decision, that's really your job, is to make the decision. Once the decision's made, then heaven and earth and seems like all the physics in the universe try to help you support that decision. And then I like to talk about the Chinese have two definitions for the word selfish. One is selfish, like, you know, self-serving. We know all about that. The other definition is about being self-care, like taking the time to take care of yourself. And here's a good example, okay? I read somewhere one time that people who won Academy Awards, you know, like actors and writers and producers and whatever, I guess producers don't win, but directors, they looked at the life expectancy. And if you were an actor or an actress, you had a long life expectancy. But if you were a writer, you had a short life expectancy if you won an Academy Award. It was like there was a huge disparity there. And they said that oftentimes actors and actresses, they invest a lot in health and looking good because they're in front of a camera, where a writer, they're just Joe Schmo, and they're just like, like killing themselves to get to their deadlines, and they're, you know, they're staying up late at night and smoking and drinking coffee or do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I was like, yeah, that's really interesting. So along with treating myself like I'm pregnant all the time, like, you know, that level of care or like someone I dearly love, I thought, you know, what does a movie star do? Like, and I don't know about the private lives of very many movie stars because, you know, I don't hang out with them. But one person who is really kind of transparent about her, what she does to maintain her health and stuff, is Suzanne Summers. And she was always on Home Shopping Network back in the day, and she's on Facebook, and she has little videos, and she talks about stuff, and she's got all these books and things, and she's on shows and stuff all over the place, and I think she even has her own show now. And it's really interesting, like, how much time she spends in a day maintaining her looks and her health. And it's a lot more than I'd say the average person, but, you know, her career depends on it, right? And so my thought process is like, okay, well, you know, my career, I'm a writer. I'm not the movie star. I'm like literally a writer. So my career doesn't, you know, necessarily depend on how I look, but I want to look and feel my best. What if I start spending more time on that? What if I choose to spend more time on preparing food? What if I choose to spend more time on exercise? What if, you know, like, what would that look like? And I have been pivoting towards that. And it's been really good. It's been really good for me. And I just want to encourage you to think about some of these things. Think about self-care. Think about, you know, the movie stars versus the writers. And think about how that would affect in your life. Another thing is then, and just to circle back to, you know, when I was sick with fibromyalgia, I decided that I was going to be in a good mood no matter what, no matter how much pain I was in. And people thought, and even my husband thought I was doing better before I had absolutely anything towards recovery. So it was almost like I was in such a good mood. I decided to be in a good mood. I just decided to look at things that pleased me so much so that the next inevitable step was for me to recover. And it wasn't exactly like that. And you can just decide. I remember when I found out, I'm gonna mute here. Oh, we got someone else here. We have two Tinas.
Huh.
What you're gonna do is like hover over the Firefox or the Chrome, and you're gonna see two boxes that say "Welcome to the event." Okay.
I only see one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, all right, I'm going to go over here. Anyway, so when I found out you could choose your mood, that blew my mind. I had no idea that you could do that. My grandparents tried to tell me that when I was a kid, that I wake up, so I would be at their house, and I wake up grumpy, and they're like whistling and popping around and stuff in the morning. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could they be like that? And they're like, you just decide to do that. And I just didn't think that was real. I was like, well, I think maybe a little bit older. I might have been a teenager and, you know, like knowing everything. Anyway, so you can train your subconscious mind, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The guided meditation body recasting is ready. I'm going to be sending that out this week to everybody, or at least sending you a link where you can download it. I'm super excited about that. It's finally finished. I finally got back into the studio after it had have its roof replaced. So So you can train your subconscious mind. It believes anything you tell it. If you tell it I'm fat and ugly, it's going to believe that. If you visualize yourself the way you want to be, like in the body recasting guided meditation, your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between a memory that's a reality or one that you've made up in your imagination. And finally, protect yourself from negativity. And the number one way you can do that is stop watching TV. If that's not going to be realistic for you, a big thing you can do is mute commercials. And try not to watch commercials, but muting them is a big deal. Okay. So I got a homework for you. It's the only homework I have. And I'll post it on the Facebook site. I'm going to write myself a note, post homework on Facebook site. I want you to create a crystal clear vision of what your life would be like as a healthy, fit person. And I want you to describe what it feels like as though it's already happened. And write this script as detailed as possible. What clothes do you wear now? What do you do for fun? What do you enjoy eating? So this is part of the mindset. If for extra credit, if you want to put a picture of what you want to look like or an outfit you want to wear, and you could even like cut off the model's head and put your head on with another picture. I'm not saying I've done that, but okay. All right, so reframing. This is from the Steve Siebold book of Die Fat or Get Tough, but I really like this idea. Okay, I'm just going to read this. I know it's going to be boring, but I'm going to read it. Okay, this is a quote from his book. The human brain's primary purpose is the preservation of the mind and body. When an event occurs, the brain asks three questions. One, what is it? Two, what does it mean? Three, what do I do? If you can reframe the meaning of the event, you can change the response that's sent back from the brain. For an example, the event is someone offering you a hot fudge sundae. So you interpret the sundae as something that will give you massive pleasure. As a result, you eat it. All you have to do, quote unquote, I added the quote, all you have to do is change what the sundae represents, and you will change your behavior. If the sundae means you're on your way to getting even fatter and unhealthier, you will not eat the sundae. Representations are one of the secrets of successful behavior change. So let's talk about that for a second, reframing. I will tell you from my own life, a lot of things don't tempt me anymore, like donuts, because I've reframed them in my mind as poison, you know, because of the ingredients and what the fat they're cooked in and stuff. For me, it doesn't even, I mean, it kind of smells nice sometimes, but I know they're full of poison. They're going to cause me pain. And then make me fat on top of everything else. So the only time I get kind of tempted by sweets is if they're like organic, gourmet type stuff. But otherwise, most of the fake food and the food that's out there and like conventional stuff doesn't even tempt me because I've reframed it in my mind like, oh, that's poison. Do you guys have any examples of this for your own?
I did. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I didn't know if you muted me because I had some coughing, so sorry about that. This is something that I would really like to get back to, but, you know, before I, you know, was diagnosed with fibro, I was in great shape, you know, for me, best shape that I'd ever been in. And I had really reframed my attitude towards sugar, really. And mm-hmm. I looked at everything as like a handful of sugar. You know, I would look and say, would I eat that? No.
Right.
You know, like even a, you know, a loaf of, you know, a piece of, you know, that like, you know, supermarket, like, you know, like Wonder Bread type, like bread. I would look at that and think, that's like eating a handful of sugar. And I don't want to do that. And it would just, it took all the fun out of it, which was good. You know, it took uh-huh. the feeling away. And I thought, okay, then I don't want to do that. You know, and it was simpler than I thought it would be. And I, you know, that was my visualization that worked for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was a good, that worked well. So, yeah.
Hey, Tina, did you want to add anything?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So every time I have managed to cut sugar out, then once those cravings begin to subside, it's way easier for me to look at something and say just that, you know, that I'm going to feel really badly if I ate that, or I would, you know, it's going to make me feel bad about myself after I eat it. You know, there's not only the physical component of the bad, there's also the emotional, like, oh, why did I eat that? You know, that was a bad choice. So once I get my sugar cravings under control, talking and reframing sugar is a lot easier, because when I'm still in the craving mode, sometimes, like, feels like there's like an override that says, I don't mm-hmm. care if that thing isn't all that good for me. I still want to eat it. So right now I keep trying to find options that will satisfy it in some way or eliminate it, but not go for that bad thing.
Right. And you need a bridge to get you from the point where the cravings aren't so bad, so that the reframing works.
Right.
Yeah. I get you. And I'm right. I understand what you're talking about. And that's, to me, the coconut oil.
Yeah, I did try it a couple of times. I find that a swig of fire cider, which is a bunch of stuff plus mostly apple cider vinegar, has been helpful. But I'm out of fire cider, so I need to get some.
Don't run out.
Yeah, really.
So, another thing that people use to get off sugar, which and it's going to sound kind of not intuitive, is counterintuitive. I mean, is you can keep this in your purse. You can get a little jar and mix honey and butter together. So, the first time you do it, you got to do it so it tastes a little bit less honey than you think it needs, just a little bit. And the next time you do it, make it with even less honey. And I would also put sea salt in there. Mix those together and keep that in your purse, and then take a spoonful of that. And that helps reduce sugar cravings. And you think, well, I'm eating honey, but honey is not a refined sweetener. So, like, if somebody is you don't eat a lot, Tina, you don't eat a lot of refined sugars, but if somebody was coming from a conventional standard American diet, the SAD diet, they would need that honey butter to bridge to the point that where they can just then do the coconut oil. They would need something to get them through. I mean, because some people get like shakes, and I mean, it's not just about low blood sugar. It's like you're detoxing from all the chemicals and stuff from stuff. But that's a whole nother conversation, is detoxing from a SAD diet. Okay. Now we're moving on to the slide called tapping. And you can use tapping for anything. I learned it to recover from post-traumatic stress disorder. But how I found out about it originally was I was doing a diet called the HCG diet, and I was reading Kevin Trudeau's book called The Weight Loss Cure They Don't Want You to Know About. And it was the original book. It was like 400 or 500 pages, the book that is in print now is like less than 200 pages. So it's a big difference. And I don't have the original book. I think I don't know where it's at, but I don't have it. But in this book, because I'm reading a book about dieting, and in this book, he was at this clinic in Germany, and this is where he found out about the HCG diet, and this lady was having a horrible craving for butter pecan ice cream, and she was about to break her diet to eat some butter pecan ice cream. And he says, hey, let me tell you about the Callahan technique. So he did the Callahan technique with her, which was the original emotional freedom technique, what it was based on. And then I tried to find it. I couldn't find any instructions on it. This is in the early days of the internet. And then, this was like 10 years ago. And then I found the original emotional freedom technique, and it's on emofree.com. And it helped with cravings. And then I used it to recover from post-traumatic stress disorder. It was my souvenir from my time I spent in Bosnia right after their supposedly right after their civil war. Anyway, the original technique is a little bit more involved. It does involve eye movements. The techniques that are going on now don't have that. If you were ever to the point that you felt like tapping, if you try tapping, especially on something kind of stubborn and you feel like it's not working, look up the original tapping with eye movements, the original emotional freedom technique with eye movements, and the nine gamut point, which is it's a place on the top of your hand that you would, it's an acupuncture point. And that's what I used to recover from PTSD. And I have a friend, her son has PTSD from his military service. And we're using that, the old original technique on him to help him recover right now. So if it can help with that, dude, it can help with some cravings for sugar, right?
Yes.
And the whole emotional eating and the reframing, all that can be helped with tapping. And if you want help with the reframing, like that can jumpstart it. Emotional eating, like, am I sad? Am I happy? You know, why am I wanting to eat this that I know it's not good for me? Another way to tap, and Deirdre talked about this at the beginning of the program, was free-floating anxiety. If you're feeling upset and you don't know why, you can just start tapping without saying anything. Just start tapping through the points. There's a guy on YouTube. His name's Brad Yates. He's a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine. And he has over 800 videos on tapping. So if you just go to YouTube and you type in Brad Yates' name and then any topic, which it could be like sugar cravings or whatever, free-floating anxiety, and even something positive like I am a leader, whatever you want, there's going to be a tapping video on that. So I'm not going to teach you guys how to tap on this program, but you're in good hands with Brad Yates. Let's put it that way. He's a much more dynamic tapper than I am. And in my book, Freedom from Fibromyalgia, in the appendix, there is some scripts and some instructions on tapping that you can use. But mine's very rudimentary, very basic. His is much more dynamic. And if you feel like you have a stubborn issue and you wanted to do something like you wanted to do tapping that was more involved, I'd say look up the old emo free technique. And above and beyond that, there's a thing called the peace process, which I didn't put in this program, but do videos on YouTube for the peace process. So we are going to move on. Meditation and visualization. I have them together because they're almost the same thing, but they're a little bit different because there's a lot of ways to meditate. So you can do it with or without visualization. And what I what Abraham Hicks suggests is that you, the first thing in the morning, as soon as early as you can manage it, as close to waking as you can manage it, do the mind clearing meditation. So you don't think about anything, and you just clear your mind, and you need to just focus on your breathing and have a sound. So I have on YouTube, I found a video of ocean waves. It's like 11 hours long. But what's nice about that particular, I don't listen to it for 11 hours, obviously, but I just let it play when I'm doing that mind clearing meditation. So I have a boring sound to focus on. There's all kinds of apps you can get. Esther Hicks really likes the sound of an air conditioner. Like, or an air compressor. Like, there's, you can get sounds of motors, you know, whatever. It's just got to be kind of a boring sound. And you just clear your mind, and every time you start to think about something, just let it go and go back to focusing on your breath and that boring sound. That is the most important meditation to do, because that's when you're going to receive insights, and you're, and it's a force multiplier. So, like, you ever had, like, so much to do that you said, you know, let me sit down and write a list, and I'm going to write this list, and that list becomes, like, a force multiplier. You got so much more done because you had a list and had it organized than you would have just going willy-nilly all over the place. Or, like, exercise is a force multiplier. Exercise helps you have more strength and stamina than you would normally. Meditation is a force multiplier in your life, like those, like a to-do list or exercises. It will help you get your attitude, your mind straight. It will also help you just raise your vibration up to where you want to be. Then I would suggest later in the day, do a meditation with visualization. So, like, within a few hours. So, like, my thing is, I first thing in the morning, I do my mind clearing meditation. And the afternoon after lunch, a lot of times I take my visualization meditation break. And then the evening, right before I go to sleep, I do a gratitude, and I also prepay for the next day. So restorative sleep is a good one for that. The guided meditation that was included in this program, and then body recasting is good one for midday. But the most important one you can do is the mind clearing meditation. Okay. Behavior modification. I'm going to go through these really quick because we're running out of time. I can't believe it. So controlling your home environment. First of all, if you guys have some good tips, they come to mind, raise your hand, interrupt, whatever. I want to hear them. So, we talked about some of these, like eating while you're sitting down, don't have on the TV. Keep tempting foods out of the house, don't buy them. I always feel like if I can get through the grocery store without buying them, that's good. Because once they're in the house, well,
yeah.
And you want to keep them out of sight, so don't leave like chocolate chips on the counter. And I'm saying that to myself. I guess. And when you, if you do buy something like naughty, buy it like in single, like little servings or whatever. My thing is chocolate during, you know, a certain time of the month. And so instead of buying like a chocolate bar that I might gobble down, I buy these bags of chocolate chunks that are organic, fair trade, no soy, no high fructose corn syrup, that kind of thing. And I'll have a few chocolate chips, and that'll just kind of zap my chocolate craving, and I don't have like this whole chocolate bar I'm thinking about for the rest of my life, wondering what it's doing in the cabinet. And then this is from French Women Don't Get Fat. She's like, carry something in your purse for just in case. So Trader Joe's has coconut oil, and like organic coconut oil that you can have in packets. That's probably one of the best things. Or a small bag of nuts, just something that can tide you over till you can get to your meal. You don't want a snack between meals, especially if you're eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, and then your midday snack, and then dinner. Like, you don't want to eat in outside of those times. For digestion, you want to eat regular times during the day. At work, don't eat your desk and don't keep snacks in your desk. Although I send my husband to work with snacks because he doesn't take that, you know, midday between lunch and dinner type meal, and he needs to have a snack with him there. Going for a walk for your break can help energize you better than coffee and candy for sure. And it takes the same amount of time to go for a walk and get energized. You can just walk up and down the halls if you need to. I like this idea of making it inconvenient to nibble on food. Like if I'm working, like writing, my hands are busy. If your hands are busy or if your hands are wet, it seems to be very inconvenient to eat. Don't skip meals. Control your mealtime environment. So serve on your plate instead of having serving dishes at the table. And I find that just so much more convenient anyway when you're making food for a family anyway than having serving dishes. Of course, Thanksgiving obviously is different. Use smaller plates, bowls, and glasses. Politely refuse second helpings. And when fixing your plate, limit portions of food. We've talked about that, having the petite portions like the French. Mm-hmm. It says daily food management. Replace eating with another activity that you will not associate with food. Okay, I don't understand that. Okay, it says wait 20 minutes before eating something you crave. And that's where tapping will come in. In Steve Siebold's book, he says a craving is like a pop quiz, and if you pass enough pop quizzes, you'll win the course. Like you'll pass the course. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I have put in here drink a mug of broth before eating. That really, 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 really helps on so many levels. And then the other thing is this: the University of California, San Francisco weight management says that always have a big glass of water or a bottle of water. I want to add to that hot tea. And you can also do the mug of broth, but something warm will help you. I would have that before I would have like a tempting snack if I could get my mind around it. And then, of course, don't drink 20 minutes before a meal or 45 minutes after because you don't want to lose the digestive. Shopping, don't shop when you're hungry or tired. Shop from a list. Don't taste test in the store. That's harder to do sometimes. Read the food labels. Make a meal plan for the week. I added that, and I have in my book Freedom from Fibromyalgia, the meal plan. And then I have a slide here that's showing it. One on the left side is my grocery list. On the right side, I have by the days. What I do is I put like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? And next to each day, I'll have something that is going on that day. So, if my son has a sports thing or if I have a meeting in the evening, I write that down. So I'm like, okay, so what days am I home? Like I'm going to be home all evening and I'm not, that's my cooking days. Right. And then I want to make sure I get my part of cooking is having the food there. So I want to make sure that everything I need to have a good cooking day is already purchased or thawed out or whatever. So I'll know what days I need to thaw stuff out. I know what days that I need to marinate anything, and I know what days I need to go to the grocery store and buy that stuff. And then on the days that I don't have a lot of time, that's the days I'm going to either make something really simple, like a hamburgers or something and, you know, veggies or something, or I'm going to make something I'm going to reheat that if I made a stew or something, I'm going to reheat that for us. Behavior modification preparation. It says use a quarter teaspoon if you have to taste test your food. I've never heard that before. I was like, okay. I've been hungry and I've probably taste tested way too much. And I like this idea. So if you have prepared more food than you need, portion it into individual containers and freeze it or refrigerate it immediately. And then on one of the other slides, it said, and mark what meal it was for. And I was like, that's kind of a cool. So it's for lunch tomorrow or whatever. don't snack while cooking meals. And then I'm like, broth. Have your broth while you're preparing your food. And I also put it on the table for my family. But and then eating. Eat slowly. Takes 20 minutes for your brain to know that you're full. It says here the idea was to take a bite, put your utensil down, take a sip of water, which I don't suggest. Cut to your next bite, take a bite, put your utensil down, and so on. Do not cut your food all at one time. Cut only as needed. Take small bites. Chew your food well. Stop eating for a minute or two, at least once during a meal or snack. Take breaks, reflect, and have a conversation. And I'm like, the French are really, they say you eat with all your senses. So enjoy the sights of the meal, the smell of your food. Enjoy the sound of the conversation or soothing music. Just enjoy your environment. Also, a lot of people, I didn't write this on the slide, a lot of people take time to bless their food. It raises the energetic vibration of your food. It makes it actually more digestible and more nutritious. No, that's not scientific fact. That's an energetic thing that's metaphysical, beyond the realm of science. But there's many, I heard a story about this priest. He blessed his food. These guys were trying to kill him, and they poisoned him. He blessed his food. And a crow came out of nowhere and, like, knocked over his wine. That was whatever was poisoned, and he figured it out or something. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Clean up and leftovers. Label leftovers for a specific meal or snack. I like that idea. And put them in individual portions. I have, like, very small casserole dishes. I buy them at Goodwill. They get these small casserole dishes, and it's just enough for me because I'm the only one who eats leftovers half the time around here. So I have it in there for me for just heating up here at the house. It says do not clean up if you're still hungry. I don't know about that. And then here's mine. Leave some on the plate for your dog. She'll appreciate it. Okay. Eating out and social eating. Eat foods that you like, but choose small portions. I think that's a great idea. Like, don't eat seconds unless you've waited 20 minutes. Limit alcohol. And don't skip other meals in the day to save room for the special event. Well, unless it's Thanksgiving, but... most people that I know that are lifelong thin, if they know there's a special meal coming up, they'll eat light for that day and then, you know, or even skip a meal. So I think, I don't know how I feel about that one. At restaurants, don't eat the bread unless, you know, the bread that they serve ahead of time. If you don't have starch with your meal, then you can have a small piece of bread with your meal. Make sure you have butter or oil on it. I think that most restaurant food is, you only need to eat half of it. The portion sizes are out of control. And, that's the main thing with restaurants. At your friend's house, offer to bring a dish or appetizer. Serve yourself small portions. Or you tell your host you only want a small amount. Stay away from the snack table or the kitchen. Don't stay busy near the food. Limit your alcohol intake. At buffets and cafeterias, first of all, just don't go. Sometimes you can't do that. They said use a salad plate instead of a dinner plate. And then after eating, clear away your dishes before having coffee or tea. Entertaining at home. They said explore low-fat cookbooks. So I replaced low-fat with traditional food cookbooks. Here's your tradition. That book changed my life and changed my eating and changed my cooking. And then and what I added was prepare nutrient-dense appetizers and desserts that do not have refined sugar. So if you're entertaining at home, so when I'm hosting Thanksgiving or birthday or whatever, and I've got people that are conventional coming to my house, I make very similar foods, but I use my real ingredients. if that makes sense. And then when it comes to dessert, so when it's buttercream cake, it actually has butter in the cream in that cake, you know. Holidays, keep tempting foods out of sight. I love this one. Decorate the house without using food. Does it have low-calorie beverages and foods on hand for guests? I say nutrient dense. Just allow yourself one planned treat a day. And don't skip meals. Save up for the holiday feast. Eat regular planned meals. Okay. Now we're... Last thing is remedies. So Bach flower remedies. So there was this guy named Bach, and he was English, I believe. Anyway, which doesn't make sense. Edward Bach, yeah. And he came up with, you know, he was really interested in homeopathy, which is where they have the energetic frequency of this plant or any plant or substance. But he thought that these flowers had helps with emotions. And he actually came up with 38 different types of remedies. And you can use up to 7 at once, and they help with emotions. And I thought emotional eating, you know, that is an issue. So when I was looking at how do you do Bach flower remedies, they're like, well, they have a checklist on their website, and if you go through the remedies and see which one you think is most like you. Well, the first remedy was, boom, me. And I'm going to read you about that in a second. But they're most famous for rescue remedy, and that's a combination of different different Bach flower remedies. If you feel anxious, if you feel scared, if you feel in shock, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel nauseous, if you feel anything, rescue remedy, and you can give it to your pets. They even have like a pet thing. It's a homeopathic remedy, and it's for emotions. So I'm going to tell you about agrimony. That was the one I'm taking, and it really helped me. I really felt like a shift with my feelings, my emotions around eating. And I'm going to vulnerable here and read you the stuff. Agrimony, the jovial, cheerful, humorous people who love peace and are distressed by argument or quarrel, to avoid which they will agree to give up much. Though generally they have troubles and are tormented and restless and worried in mind or in body, they hide their cares behind their humor and are considered very good friends to know. They often take alcohol or drugs in excess to stimulate them and help themselves bear their trials with cheerfulness. Okay, that's not 100% me, but keywords: addiction, unhappy, anxiety, insomnia. Human indication: mental torment behind a brave face appears carefree and humorous in order to mask anxieties and unhappiness. So that's not 100% me, but in the checklist thing, it was me. So I tried it. It helped me. The neat thing about homeopathics is even if they're not 100% right, they're usually beneficial. And if they're completely inappropriate, they're not at all harmful. There's nothing wrong with them. You can't hurt yourself with them. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the resources. Boxflowers.com, RipplesHealthShop.com, Amazon, U.S. Wellness Meats, it's GrasslandMeats.com. Recordings or handouts are at the FibroClass.com. You can email me at support@leah@thefibrolady.com. Our next call is June 13th at 1 p.m., which is Wednesday, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific. And our focus is going to be on sleep plus your questions. And I just want to let you know what the next other calls are about. They're going to be sleep, then the next call will be about exercise, and then we're going to talk about the busters, like hormones and plateaus and things like that. And then call number 6 will be pure question and answer. We're just going to wrap up that way. So with that being said, what are your questions and final thoughts? Tina?
I don't think I have any questions really, but definitely good to hear a lot of those reframing and just the ways you can psychologically shift your pattern of food, you know, using the smaller plates. And I know there are things with even like colors when you're eating, mm-hmm. but definitely trying to shift my mentality so I can stay the course.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and Deirdre?
I don't really have any questions, but I agree. There's a lot of info here to really just reframe things. And one thing that I sometimes do, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before. If you don't want to eat any more brush or teeth, depending on what you do.
Oh yeah.
Preferably like a natural toothbrush. You know, just do that, and then you just your mouth feels fresher. But if you try to eat something after that, it doesn't taste good. It just doesn't, it doesn't go. So
right.
And then you kind of feel like, okay, I'm really done. I'm nice and, I'm finished. I'm fresh. And that's it. There's so many of these things are just, they're the kind of things that you just, it's like every little bit helps, when you're trying
exactly.
to kind of change, when you're trying to change the way you do things. I can tell you with the tapping, I started doing tapping a while ago. I was doing the tapping with the eye movement, and I did it with my therapist if you're interested in knowing more about that or whatever, I can tell you my experience is pretty good with it. It's a little
right.
slow, bit of a slow starter for me it was anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What is a shy movement business? But it really does. And my therapist is a trauma specialist, and she actually, here in Connecticut she left the big practice she was working with to work with survivors of Sandy Hook, and small private practice outside of that. So she's really good. And in terms of sound, I go on. There are a lot, so many different apps and things. I go
mm-hmm.
on one. You can play any of them, but sometimes you can make a little mix. And
mm-hmm.
I'll mix like ocean sounds, dust storm, and then something else like wind or something. And if you put it all together, it's just this very even. I think it's like boring sound, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I listen to to some nature sounds, it's too much for me. Some are better than others.
Right.
But sometimes if you can do that, that's a really good, way to go, because it's just this very nice sort of, background. It's just a sound cocoon to be in while you're trying to meditate or relax. So.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I love my ocean waves because there's no like seagull sounds. It's just
yeah.
the waves, nothing else.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Really
yeah, that gets me like off track.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, and then Tina. So, what was your favorite takeaway from today?
I definitely enjoyed again the various ways to reframe food and the mentality. I also, I just enjoy hearing, the group ideas. And sometimes when someone else is experiencing something similar or, just talking about their story and I'm thinking, oh yeah, me too. I don't know. It's nice to have that solidarity and not feel alone.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Deirdre?
You know, I have to say it's pretty much the same thing. It's sort of hearing it, hearing stories, from everyone else, and just, you do feel that solidarity and like, oh, okay, that worked for them, and it makes you feel like, okay, it's with fiber, it's always that feeling of, oh, is it just me, and it's not. So it's and just talking about like the self-care is so important, and it's something that it's kind of like it goes along with sleep, that sort of that I think it's changing, but that attitude that some people have where they're like, oh, I wish I could sleep 8 or 9 hours a night, I'm so busy, and you're thinking, well, you won't be if you don't get a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing with self-care. It's not, it's people can look at it as being selfish, but it's you're all you've got. You've got to take care of yourself. And and sometimes, and it took me a long time, but it got to a point where if other people have a problem with it, well, they'll get over it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna ruin their lives. They'll get over it and just keep friendly and taking care of yourself. And I found an article about how reading can help with sugar cravings. If I can find that, I will send it to you. Yes.
I should have zero sugar cravings.
I know. I know. So it's just, and I don't, I have to be honest, I didn't really get into the article, but I will look it up, read it, and if it seems like something useful, I will, I'll send it in.
Awesome, so. Awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah, or put it on our Facebook page,
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true. I could do that, right? I never think of that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the polls are posted every day. And so that'll be good. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Well, hey, so our next call is in June. I can't believe it's May 30th. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
June 13th, which is a Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern. And in between, Deirdre, you and I are going to be talking on our other group.
Mm-hmm. Right.
but we're going to be talking about sleep. So I'm really excited about that because – kind of in the mindset of your body needs to feel safe in order to release the weight. Sleep is super important. And we're going to be talking about napping, and we're going to be talking about, I was thinking about like some, brushing your teeth is a good tip.
Yeah.
No food after dinner, but sometimes going to bed early to keep from eating.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you taking a nap to keep from eating is a strategy. So
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, I like that strategy.
Yeah.
And Leah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you just give me the homework one more time?
Sure.
Let me
find the slide so I can make sure I'm telling you the right thing.
Okay.
Okay, it's right here. Okay. So create a crystal clear vision of what your life now, this is not like a 1-2-3 instruction. This is like a this is the description of the instructions. Create a crystal clear vision of what your life will be like as a healthy, fit person. So you want to describe what it feels like, although as though it's already happened. And you want to write a script as detailed as possible, like what clothes you're wearing now, what you do for fun, what do you enjoy eating, that type of thing. So make it as detailed as possible.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. And we'll go over the homework. And I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's it for our recording now. Unless you guys have any other things you want to ask or say anything about.
Nope. Thank you very much. Nice talking.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Have a good day, everybody.
You too. All right. Everybody, take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.